Beats by Trill, straight Killerville, dog.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We back. Another episode of the Paul Pickett Podcast, a.k.a. Triple P, a.k.a. the Common Sense Podcast, your source for music, sports, politics, world events, and much, much more. We're about to go back into the world of bare knuckle. It's going to be our third bare knuckle fight interview in three interviews in 2 days. Our next fighter is a former MMA fighter with a 6-5 record and 2-3 in the BKFC. Let's bring him on, the one and only David Simpson. David, what's good? How you doing, man?
Feeling good. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate you doing this, man. So I want to start here. MMA, you fought in a league, what was it called? The Spatica League? Am I pronouncing that right?
Fight League.
Yeah, what was that experience like, and how'd you feel about winning the title in that league?
Man, it was cool, man. You know, it's a big promotion out there. Regionally. And yeah, man, it was a lot of fun. My brother fought too, man. We both were kind of grinding at the same time. And it was awesome, man.
So your brother's a fighter too?
Yeah.
Is he about as jacked as you are?
We're the same size, but he's taller and leaner than me. You know what I'm saying? He weighs the same, but he's like 6'2". You know what I'm saying? But he's nice though.
Now, when you train for a fighter, like I know a lot of guys, they like to train for each fighter differently, or do you typically just train one way for every fighter?
Yeah, I don't look into other men that much. You know what I'm saying? Like I just do my thing and train. And, you know, I'm trying, like, I don't want to have game plans and stuff because I feel like fighters get too caught up on their game plans. And then when things don't work out, you know, they have like a mental loss in the ring. And this last fight, you know what I'm saying? I did a real good job. Just, I didn't think about nothing. Everything I did was just the things I trained, and whatever happened instinctually happened.
I think that makes a lot of sense because I noticed in that fight you were switching to southpaw a lot.
Yeah.
Do you think that's one of your greatest strengths? And with that and your frame, it makes you a really tough fighter for you to game plan for?
Yeah, man. You know what I'm saying? I've put in a lot of technical work. You know, I had no real boxing training, you know, until after my first fight I had in BKFC. I didn't have any boxing training then. And then I got up with my dude, Jason Williams, with Boxer Tricks. And it was just the most detailed, you know, striking that I've ever had. And as we've gone on, basically, I'm completely both stances now. You know what I'm saying? I've gotten about almost 4 years of training with him. And, basically, I'm about 50-50 stance-wise now. And all my drops last fight were with the left hand, which I was happy about too.
Yeah, I would think that extremely hard to game plan, because how do you really know when somebody's going to switch to southpaw? And I guess they called it orthodox style, the other style.
Yeah, no, man, it works great defensively and offensively. And I think it's going to be hard for people to figure out, you know, exactly what we have going on.
Now, I saw after one of the rounds, your trainer basically just said you're stronger than him and you're a better fighter. Did you feel like that from the gate going in?
Yeah, man. You know what I'm saying? I'm one of these people, man. It's like, you know, I have all the ability in the world. You know what I'm saying? It's really just been about me, you know, doing the things I need to do, doing the weight cuts right, preparing right, learning the techniques and stuff. And, yeah, man, you know, this last fight, because it had been a while since I've been out there. I had like 4 or 5 backouts in a row, and I was sitting on the bench, man, you know what I'm saying, getting sad. And, you know, I got my feet underneath me after about 30, 45 seconds, you know what I'm saying, just feeling, haven't been out there in a while. But then after that, I felt all calm and everything. And you know what I'm saying? I could tell I was just a lot better than the dude. You know what I'm saying? Like, I felt it. Yeah.
Yeah. I've actually interviewed Merk, good friend of the show. How tough of a fighter do you feel he was?
I think he was tough. Like, I don't think he was a scrub by any means. He felt hard to hit. Like, he was dropping down levels real nice, good time. And you know what I'm saying? He had a nice jab in there a couple times. I just trained so hard for this fight, man. And you know, I am, you know, for my, you know, I hit hard, man. I'm strong, and I just knew as long as I perform, I knew it was gonna be a good fight for me.
Yeah, when I saw you, I was like, oh man, I'm worried as hell for Merk right here, because you were just so much bigger than him. Do you think your frame makes up for any lack of, like, height advantage? Because I think he only had, like, 2 or 3 inches over you, height advantage, but you couldn't really tell too much.
Yeah, no, man, I got them real wide shoulders. People are always a little disappointed, you know, of what I weigh on the scale. People are like, oh, man, what are you, 225? I'm like, no, nah, man, I walk around about, you know, between 207 and 212, you know what I mean? But I'm a solid, you know, at that weight. Like, you know, my body fat's not too high and everything, and I still think I'm bigger, you know, for the weight class for sure.
You fought Redneck Mandel, interviewed him last night. That wasn't for the belt, was it?
No, it was his last fight before he was ranked number one. That was his last fight before he got the belt, though.
Now, was that as a light heavyweight, or was that a different weight class that y'all fought?
It was a light heavyweight.
Okay. And he don't even have the belt for light heavyweight, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah, I think he, you know, he letting his dude Jared Warren on his team's the champ now, man. So
he did say that was his team guy last night. Yeah.
Some of the reason he's been, you know, they've been kind of staying, but yeah, no, I had a blast out there with him, man, honestly. You know what I mean? He is a great fighter. I still feel I did better than anyone else did with him, in all honesty. You know what I'm saying? You know, I walked into one, telegraphed one punch and ran into it. You know what I'm saying? But, yeah, man, no, I got a lot of respect for him, man. I'm just trying to get, you know, trying to get on his level with it, man, you know?
How do you feel about the current state and the future sport of bare knuckle right now?
Man, it feels good. You know, man, I'm having a blast with it. In all honesty, just, I mean, of course I'm biased because, you know, I'm in BKFC, I guess. But to me, MMA and boxing, and just like when I watch, because I don't watch that much, in all honesty, sports in general. I just kind of do my thing. But when I do watch it, it's like I'm shocked at how less entertaining it is than BKFC. Yeah. It just seems like it's just a hard spar in the gym with the gloves on. You know what I mean? Like, in BKFC, we're just taking so much more damage, and it's just you know what I'm saying, just so much more violence and entertainment. Like, I don't see it going any way but up, honestly.
Yeah, and the fact that they pump out so many fights so fast. Yeah. I mean, it's just constant, you know, entertainment, nonstop. Even like, you know, the early matches like y'all had, I mean, they were good, man. They were really, really good.
Oh, for sure.
You called out Jake Brutal Boswick. So that's who you typically want to fight next, right?
Yeah, I mean, in all honesty, man, you know, like, I'm not just saying it, you know, just because I'm, you know, trying to sound cool or something, man, but I'm having a hard time. Like, I talked with, you know, the matchmaker at BKFC this last fight, and he basically was just saying, sorry, man, like, I'm like, I can't get people to accept fights with you, man. I'm just struggling. And it's been, I've already had one back out since my last fight. I was promised I had a fight a couple months later if I won and didn't get hurt. And then I had it, and then I look on there, and the dude I was supposed to fight, he's lined up with some skinny fat dude. So he chose it. I don't know how he was able to choose or whatnot, but I'm back in Mundell's brother on Instagram. He came on and left a comment and tagged me, and he was telling Jake, like, yeah, I think you should fight Dave, because he was calling Mundell out for the belt, and his brother and Mundell showed some support, like, well, why don't you go fight Dave right now, kind of thing. And so I rolled with it, man, and I was like, yeah, man, that'd be a good fight for me, you know what I'm saying? So I've done everything I can to get it, man, but I think dude's scared, to be honest. He liked one of my DMs early on about fighting, and then he hadn't responded to nothing I've done, man. I think he wants out, to be honest, man. But he should take that fight, man, you know, because he's not going to get a title shot right now. And I feel like with Mundell and his brother and stuff online, like, they kind of passively are telling him that, you know, they'll give him the shot with against him if he wins. You know what I'm saying? So he should take the fight, man. You know what I mean? Because I'm really not trying to get sidelined like I did last time, just because people, you know, not wanting to choose the fight. And, you know, so I'm doing everything I can, man, but I don't got my hopes high he's going to respond at this point.
So you think that's kind of like boxing right now, where people, like, they're trying to preserve their record?
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's just because I've been in one of these situations where it's like, you know, because I have my cut loss, and I lost to Mundell, and in my first fight was a close fight where, you know, I lost a decision. But it's at the same time, everybody kind of has always known that I am, like, you know, still one of the top people in the weight class at the same time. So I've been a real bad deal for people, you know, like the matchmaker was telling me, like, all the top guys are scared to take it because of the risk, and all the newer guys won't take it because they're, you know, because they're scared, you know, physically, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I've been in this no man's land where I'm just ready to fight anybody, whoever, and everybody. I've heard every excuse in the book. I've heard he's too big, not right now. Management don't like to fight. Like, I've heard every excuse, man. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, anybody at 185 light heavyweight that wants it, you know what I'm saying, just let whoever know, because I'm trying to get out there. You know what I mean?
I mean, if the matchmakers, you know, bringing you fights, and which I don't know how they really, like, what they go off of how they figure out who should fight who. I know when I interviewed Ryan Reber, he was just saying styles make fights. And I always just felt like the best guys should fight the best guys. I hate when they go off of social media followers and things of that nature. You know, like when I interviewed Redneck last night, he told me they're not fighting for the belt because this guy's just making his debut. And that makes sense. Why would a guy make a debut get a chance to fight for the belt? You know, what's your opinion about that? It's been a lot of quitting lately, I've noticed.
Well, I think on Mundell's fight, I think it's not for the belt because they're doing it in a different weight class. But, yeah, they're still letting him fight, you know, the best guy for his first fight. Yeah, man, it's just, you know, I'm sure, you know, it's a good money fight for Mundell, man, you know, so I'm happy he's getting it. You know, but – yeah, I don't necessarily like it, but I kind of understand it, too, from a business point of view. You know what I'm saying? Like, I see why BKFC not really trying to have Mike Perry get knocked out by Mundell. You know what I'm saying? So, but, you know, I don't like it, you know what I'm saying, personally. But it's like, but I understand if I was Dave Feldman, maybe I'd feel like he did, you know what I'm saying, or whoever, you know what I mean?
Now, I know there's a lot of cats been quitting lately in these matches. What you think? What's your thought process on that?
I mean, my thought process on that, man, is, you know, there's a time and place, you know, when a man's done or whatever, I guess. But it's like, to me, it's disrespectful to, like, the people, you know, like me, that I know you're going to get up and keep going until my body's done, not when my mind felt like being done. And there's a lot of fighters out there, you know, that would love to be on BKFC that, you know, never will. And so if you just gonna go out there and quit, you know, it's a little disrespectful. You know what I'm saying? I think everybody should put everything out there. But, you know, that's the referee in the corner's place to call the fight. And the fighter's supposed to just kind of do his job, man, you know.
And it also cheats the fans too, right?
Yeah, no, for sure. No, there's been some bad ones for sure, but I feel like most fighters, I'd say over half are going out on their shield, though, you know what I'm saying? But there is a handful, you know what I mean, where guy just kind of takes the knee, feeling a little overwhelmed or whatever.
What's your opinion on this Mike Perry and Jake Paul fight, man? Do you think it's going to do anything to boost up BKFC?
I mean, I hope Mike Perry wins, man. You know, like I'll be rooting for Mike Perry, but I think it's going to be a hard fight for him to win. I think, I don't know, Jake Paul probably got at least, I don't know, probably 20, 30 pounds on him. You know what I'm saying? And then it's a boxing match and his rule set. And Mike Perry's like his toughness and grit won't be as much of a factor with the gloves on. And you know what I'm saying? Like if he came to BKFC, I think Mike Perry would just probably find a way to stress him out and win. You know what I'm saying? But in boxing, I think it's going to be hard, but I'll be rooting for him. You know what I'm saying?
Do you think it's possible Jake Paul could knock him out? Because I've heard a couple people say that they think Jake Paul could actually knock him out.
Yeah, I mean, he definitely can. I mean, Mike Perry can knock him out too, you know what I mean? But, yeah, no, honestly, man, people don't want to, you know, think about it like that. But at, like, the top level of fights, man, anybody can get knocked out, man. You know what I'm saying? It's just how likely or not likely it is, you know what I'm saying? Either one for sure could get a knockout. But I do think Jake Paul probably – like, I would guess that Jake Paul going to win a decision most likely. But, you know, we'll see.
So you're trying to basically get on the Florida card, I'm guessing, right?
Yeah, man, I wouldn't mind that at all, man. I had fun being out there. I got some family out there too. Yeah, that'd be cool. But anywhere is fine, man. You know what I'm saying? I was supposed to, the fight I was supposed to have was in Kansas City on the August 16th one that fell through, which would have been nice because it was close by. But yeah, man, if I could get that Boswick fight, that'd be cool. I don't got my hopes up, like I said, because he's been real quiet. You know what I'm saying? When I kind of put his back to the corner, if he going to take it or not.
Like you're really itching to kind of do like two fights a year. I've noticed you're only getting like one fight a year. Like you said, the matchmakers are bringing you the matches, but these guys are just coming up with all types of excuses and politics. It seems like you're really trying to itch to get to them two fights a year. Am I correct on that?
Yeah, I mean, I would like more than that, all honesty. You know what I'm saying? Like I've been getting the call, you know, like I got the call four times last year. And, you know, that's good. Like, you know, that's real nice for anybody to get the call that much from BKFC. But every time, 9 days before the fight, 2 weeks before the fight, something like that, they'd be like, oh, the fight's off. And you know what I mean? And yeah, it's been frustrating, man, you know, in all honesty, because you would think these guys would be more savage, you know what I'm saying? Like they would just I know that whoever they tell me, like, you know, I'm gonna fight whoever's name is put in front of me, you know, they know that too. So I mean, anybody at 185, man, is getting in contact with whoever, man, you know.
Yeah, I'm looking at the light heavyweights now. I mean, Mundell said he's never gonna go for that belt because he doesn't fight teammates. I mean, but you got Josh Dyer in there. You got Jomie Escobosa, Isaac Doolittle. I mean, this is a nice little division right here, man. If I'm you, man, I call out any and everybody I have to, man, to get my fights, man. If people are going to dodge and the matchmaker can't get you the fights, I mean, you got to do what you got to do. I know some people don't like calling out people, but as much as y'all love to fight, I mean, you got to do what you got to do, I'm guessing.
Yeah, no, man. I have a feeling, you know, I have a feeling that whoever I do end up getting, you know, they're going to be somebody, you know, they're going to be somebody good because they're not going to talk anyone on the lower level into taking the fight. And, you know, that's fine, man, you know, because, you know, you get the rewards from winning big fights. And, yeah, I think I'm just kind of ready to be in there with these top guys again, man. You know, hopefully I'm hearing something soon.
You look like you got a lot of some Irish ancestry in you. Am I correct on that?
I actually don't, man. You'd be disappointed. I think I'm like less than like 1%. I think I'm English and German with like trace amounts of like Irish and Scandinavian and stuff like that, man. Yeah.
Or maybe some Viking too, man. You know, you might have.
Yeah,
Vikings. No, I definitely love some Vikings, though. Them some badass motherfuckers.
Yeah, I rep the Vikings for my fights, man. People seem to like that, man, you know, the way I look and whatnot.
Hey, I meant that you don't have a fight nickname?
No, I don't, man. You know, maybe after this next one, I have one. You know, I got some stuff in mind that some people have, you know, said throughout the years, man. But I've just refrained, man. You know, by the time I have a nickname, you know what I'm saying, I'll be having a big fight, man. I've been, you know what I'm saying, worked my way up before I do it, man. You know what I'm saying?
I know typically the goal is always to win the belt, but you got any other aspirations or goals in BKFC?
No, you know, I want to, just as like a little personal thing for me, I'd like to have 20 BKFC fights before I'm done, you know what I'm saying? Just so, you know, I fully live this life and everything, you know, I want to embrace that. Definitely I want to be a champ, and I know that I can, you know, a little bit of hard work, little bit of luck in the stars aligning and everything else. Like I'm definitely physically capable of it. And so that's the goal. And then, you know, if I don't quite ever pull that off and be the best at some point, then I just want to be the best I can and just be, you know, a contender in BKFC and have been a part of like the birth of it. You know what I'm saying? Just be a part of it. But I think I can be champ. You know what I'm saying? I've fought the best. I trained with the best. I know where I'm at. You know, a lot of people that matter around me, you know, think I could be champ too. You know, I can tell, you know, they're not just hyping me up. I can tell some people are, you know, hoping I pull it off and stuff. And I don't know, like, I'm not a religious guy or, you know, a superstitious guy, but I'm kind of feeling it right now, man. Like, I think it's just kind of like I built up my technique and maturity to this time. And I think I'm going to get these next couple fights, man. I do.
So Conor becomes a part owner, man. You think that takes BKFC to just a whole nother level now?
Yeah, it definitely is. You know, it's cool, man. There's definitely some more eyes on BKFC I've noticed since Conor McGregor's. But I'm not sure what all positive, negative, or whatnot will happen from it. I guess it's kind of, we'll have to wait and see. But I would assume that it is positive.
Do you think David Feldman to get him to at least do one BKFC fight?
Yeah, he might, man. Yeah, he might want. He might do like one time or something at some point, maybe, you know, a year or two down the road, man. I could see that. That would be cool.
And that would probably be against somebody like Mike Perry if he's still undefeated, right?
Yeah, I would think that they'd either put him with someone like real big if he won, give him this real nice big fight. Or they would just like give him like a scrub that he would just like that person's face in 20 seconds. I could see it.
I could see that. That's kind of how I felt. I don't know if you've seen Chris Lytle's BKFC fights, but I felt like every time he fought, man, they was giving him a scrub. He looked like a freaking giant, man, compared to these dudes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, damn, well, poor guys, man, because Chris Lytle, a beast, man.
Yeah, I got a picture of him right here, man. I mean, I wouldn't dare get in the ring with that cat. Yeah. I'd have to get in the ring with one of the bantamweight cats, and even then, man, I'm going to get knocked out probably in 5 seconds like Robbie Perez did.
Oh, you're good. That.
Now, let me ask you that. How would you feel? I think you would felt really disappointed if you work all those months and get to a match and it's over in 5 seconds.
Yeah, no, I feel what you're saying. But having a nice win like that, you know what I'm saying? A win's a win, man, you know.
I'm talking about like for Robbie losing.
Oh, losing. Yeah, man, no, I mean, I've only punch I've ever been knocked out was by Mundell. I lost like 4 or 5 seconds of time, but I did get up on eight and I was straight. I did just like wake up, but that's the only time I've ever been.
So you was knocked out for like 4 seconds.
Yeah, like I was laying on the ground. And I was yelling "fuck" and taking my mouthpiece out. And I don't remember nothing. I just felt like I could just get up and fight, man. I was just like, man, I'm straight. You know what I'm saying? But I was up on eight, man. Some people thought they should have let it go, but I really was knocked out for a minute for sure. You know what I mean?
Now, they say BKFC and bare knuckle is actually safer than boxing, man. Do you totally agree with that? Like, as far as the long-term damage goes? No?
I'm going to look out for BKFC, but I'm going to say no.
Okay.
Just because it does just feel like, you know, I got in all kind of, you know, fights as a kid growing up, you know, like a lot of people. I had MMA fights, and it just, they all, like, nothing, something about BKFC, like, you going against another man that's your, you know, match as far as size, and he's training every day to try to take you out and how to block everything you're doing. And so y'all are in there only able to hit each other with your knuckles with no gloves on. You have no other way to defend yourself or win the fight. And like the damage just like it just, you know what I'm saying? It's amazing how like damage you get, you know what I'm saying? Like from little things and like people watching, they don't realize like how damaged the fighters are, you know, watching. It's like when you see the fighter's face like 24 hours after the fight, it's like, God damn. You know what I'm saying? It's like there might be something in the, like, you know, not the repetitive damage, but fighters are definitely getting knocked out easier and bare knuckle. And you're taking so much more facial damage and stuff like that, too. Mm-hmm. So I don't see how, you know, I would say it's still more dangerous, man, you know?
Yeah, and it's crazy to me. Like, y'all are some of the nicest people in the world, but y'all love to fight, man.
I think, man, honestly, yeah, I agree. Like, there is, like BKFC, like, overall, like, there is some disrespectful stuff every now and then with the fighters and some fighters not getting along. But overall, it's not like that. And I think it's because it's just, like, you got to respect everyone doing this. It's just so crazy. And, like, we're all taking so much damage. I think there's this, like, atmosphere of respect for each other that lingers in the air, kind of, you know what I'm saying? With everything, I think that's why it's like that.
I think I hear a lot of people throwing out the word family atmosphere all the time. Like, it's like a BKFC family, you know?
Yeah,
I mean, there's guys are knocking each other out and y'all are hugging afterwards a lot, of, you know, like 10 times out of 10, damn near.
Yeah, no, you gotta. Yeah, you guys, man, most people are, you know what I'm saying? Like, most people are cowards, man, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's a lot of, like, good fighters out there, like MMA and boxing, that they probably, their spirit would just, like, break and they wouldn't be able to, like, be them just knowing that they're fighting somebody with no gloves on, you know what I mean? So it's like you gotta respect deep down somewhere everybody that goes in there, you know what I mean?
What would you say is the biggest difference between, like, MMA and boxing and BKFC?
BKFC, it's the main thing that, like, someone fresh coming in from another combat sport is going to notice off the bat, because everyone thinks, oh, I've been in street fights, I know what it's like, but you haven't done a boxing match with someone else good with no gloves on, so it's still not the same. And the main thing you'll notice is that your distance is different. You got to be closer for everything, because even the MMA gloves are putting an inch or two of padding that you're reaching the person with. Like, you got to get a little closer than you want to with the person, and you got to be more technical. You can't throw big shots and just get away with it, because for your hands and just everything else, like, you got to be more technical and you got to be closer. And that's why it takes some fights for people to get used to it, because, like, my first fight, I didn't get comfortable and start really figure it out until like round 4 and 5. I started whooping dudes' ass pretty good. But it was like, it's like I was too far away or too close and not managing distance. And then it was like, all right, then I kind of settled down and got it. You know what I mean? And that's the main thing I feel.
Yeah, the way I've heard it described is boxing starts out slow and gets fast. BKFC starts out fast and gets slow, and that's why you want to try to get it over with as quick as possible.
Yeah, no, I never heard that, but that sounds about right. Yeah.
Yeah. That I did an interview. I forgot who said it, but they said, yeah, BKFC starts out fast, gets slow, and boxing starts out slow and gets fast. And that's why you get more tired. The more you go through rounds, they say, the more damage you get and the more tired you get and the more hits you get. I mean, because I'm not going to lie, you're not out Marcus Suarez. I mean, each round, I knew, like, after the first one, I pretty much knew he was in trouble, man. And then once that second one was, I was like, oh, he's done. You could see, like, it wasn't the same, man. It wasn't the same.
And all honesty, man, they should have called it on the
second one. I think you're right. You're right. They should have called it on the second one. They should have. Because you could see that he was a little unbalanced, you know, still.
Yeah, I think they gave him, like, 28 seconds to recover, man. You know what I'm saying?
No, he did, because he was standing for a little while, and he's like, throw your hands up, you know, and he threw him up. But you could tell he was gone. Do you got a fight that stands out to you the most?
Believe it or not, man, it wasn't my best. The most fun fight I ever had was my first BKFC fight out of every MMA, boxing, bare knuckle, anything I've done. And I took so much damage. I don't know how I was able to have fun in there, man. In all honesty, my hand was broken terrible, and I had a hole in my face since the first and second round of the fight. But I really, the last two rounds, man, I started like figuring it out. I was just like having a lot of fun in there, man. You know, I can't really explain it, but I had a lot of fun, and all my fights are fun. You know, mostly by the time I'm done with it, you know, I had fun. I had a blast out there. But that one stands out as that was just a crazy fight, man. I took so much damage and still was able to do all right, man. I don't know. It was just a weird fight.
And that's what makes it, like, so much different. It's like y'all literally breaking your hands, punching dudes, and still going through the fight, man. You got El Gallo dislocating the shoulder. I've dislocated my shoulder, man. I mean, that sucks, man. You know?
You got to be a savage, man. You got to be willing to die for the shit in there. You know what I'm saying?
Got another question before we go and give you some shout outs and whatnot. Do you ever care about trying to get, like, fight of the night?
Yeah, I do, man. I want a knockout of the night, you know, so I come out a little cleaner. You know what I'm saying? It would be preferable. But honestly, man, it's hard, but, you know, when you're like feature, co-main and main event, it's easier, like, they'll gravitate towards giving knockout or fight of the night to those, even if there was a better knockout on the undercard. You know what I'm saying? Like, I've noticed that too. But I plan on getting one at some point, man.
Actually, I got another question. Like, the women in BKC, do you feel like they get enough respect?
Hey, man, you know what I'm saying? They got my respect, you know. I think they got a lot of people's respect. In all honesty, they do. They brawl it out and everything. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I like watching the bare knuckle women. You know, I wouldn't want one myself. You know, for my woman, I wouldn't. You know what I'm saying? You probably can't trust the woman involved in bare knuckle. But I have fun watching them, man. You know, I'm fans of some of the, you know, the ladies I watch out there, man. Now they do solid.
And they always go the distance because they're not really able to knock each other out like y'all are.
Yeah, no, for sure. No, they beat the trash out of each other, man. A lot of those fights, man, they put on good shows.
And I think, like, the fact that they go the distance gives them an advantage to kind of possibly get fight of the night a lot of times, man. Because, you know, when the fights go the distance, they usually be some of the better fights, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, you know, a lot of the bare knuckle women, you know, they get all dolled up and looking good for the fight, man. I'm sure that helps too with it. You know what I'm saying?
You think they take it a little bit more personal too?
Yeah, maybe they do kind of seem. Yeah, they seem maybe not to get along quite as good as the men do. But I might know. You might be right. Yeah, there's a little something to that.
Yeah, because I interviewed Melanie Shaw and she's had drama every time. She's fought people. I remember when Britton Hart fought her and she had her all bloody and knocked the tooth out. She was calling her a bitch and stuff like that. I'm like, yeah, this is a little bit more personal than the dudes.
That probably is true, man. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, women don't get along as good sometimes.
And then throwing a bare knuckle fighting,
Yeah.
that's not a good one. All right, before we go, man, anything you want to shout out?
Yeah, man, it's a shout out my coach Jason Williams with Boxer Tricks over in Wales. Shout out to Nate with No Quarter Combatives. He's my PR and like sponsor guy. Shout out to Get Shit Done Coffee, one of my sponsors, man. And
what's that about? Get Shit Done Coffee. That's a coffee company.
Yeah.
I like that. That's a cool name. Get Shit Done Coffee.
Yeah, no, it's good too, man. Yeah, he sponsored my last fight, man. So appreciative to him too.
And what about we want to call out Jake Brutal Boswick, or are we good on that?
Yeah, I still want the fight. You know, I mean, he should take it. You know, he's, you know, passively been told if he wins and then he gets the fight he wants, he's not going to get that fight anyway, man. So I think he should take it.
We're going to clip him up and we're going to tag him in the post and we're going to try to get him to take it. So,
yeah, bro, please do. Yeah, I mean, I think he's worried it's not a good fight for him. You know what I mean? And I think he's a tough guy and a good fight. But it is a good fight for me. You know what I'm saying? If he thinks if he can win, I think he should take it.
Well, I hope you definitely get on that card, man. I mean, that's going to be another stacked out, sold out crowd. So far, the card is stacked with the Redneck and King Mo and Reba fighting Alberto Blas for the belt. So, yeah, man. I hope you get on that. And now that you're a friend of the show, man, I'm definitely going to make sure I follow everything you do. You know, going forward, once I get off here, I'm going to make sure I get started clipping up some clips. I'll put out a couple clips first, and then I'll put out the full interview. We'll post it on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, pretty much everything. And we'll take the audio version and throw it on all the streaming platforms as well, man.
Sounds good. Appreciate that, bro.
Appreciate you, man. Anytime you want to come back on, please do. I definitely like to always have the fighters on, you know, after they have their next fights as much as possible, you know, come back on and talk about the next fights and stuff. So,
yeah, for sure. Yeah, we'll link back up for sure.
All right. Well, you enjoy the rest of your day, man.
All right. Thanks, brother.
All right. Peace. Well, that was another one in the books. 3 interviews in 2 days, bare knuckle fighting. That was David Simpson. But good friend of the show, Marcus Merck Suarez, last match and beat him in like the second or third round. Definitely, like he said, they probably should have stopped it the second time he got knocked down. You could tell Merck was dizzy. And I'm not going to lie, as soon as I saw that Merck had to fight David, I just knew he was in for a whole heap of trouble. And you see what happened. You see the results. David Simpson comes out with a victory. And hopefully he gets on that card coming up in Florida. I forgot the date on that, but, you know, it's going to be at the Seminole Hard Rock Cafe, more likely, as usual. Sold out, again, more likely, as usual. Well, once again, thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Paul Pickett Podcast, where lately all I've been covering is bare knuckle. I need to get back into my reaction videos here soon and whatnot. And I've been staying away from the politics. They're getting a little sensitive and whatnot. But thank you for tuning in to another episode. And go follow David Simpson on Instagram, man. Peace. And I'm out.